know what you're listening to.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to the Snowman in the Morning podcast.
Did you not get the memo?
Insanity ensues.
Can't wait.
Now it is time to welcome the man in charge of the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, one of my dearest friends in broadcasting, Mr. Errol Marks. What's going on, E? How are you?
I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I am here. Happy to be here.
Hey, happy to have you, man. Happy to have you. Let's get right into it.
Absolutely.
Trevor Lawrence. He probably will not win the Heisman because he missed too many games. But is there any doubt that he's the best college football player this year?
There's a lot of doubt. I mean, you see what Justin Fields is doing right now at Ohio State, and he's been fantastic. You're seeing some of the running backs in the nation. I mean, it's incredible what you've seen all season long. Being that it's a short season with the NCAA, with the COVID-19 situation, you've seen a lot of good football players, seen a lot of great football. Is Trevor Lawrence the best player in this draft? Yes. Most talented. If you want to compare and contrast some of the quarterbacks that we've seen over the last, I would say the last 25, 30 years, they're saying that this kid has all the top qualities to be the top quarterback in a draft class where, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, we talk about Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson. We're talking about all these great quarterbacks. They say that this kid is going to be just as good or even better than Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
He's Andrew Luck-esque. So do I think he's the best player in this year's draft as far as talent is concerned? Yes. Do I think after the season is over, do I think he will be rated as the top player in this year's draft? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think yes on both of those too. You know, missing 5 weeks, then coming back and laying 400 yards on Pittsburgh, and then saying goodbye to Tiger Nation. I answer both questions as yes as well. Which will be the better pro, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields?
It's a good question. I think both of them are going to be very good quarterbacks. Justin Fields, both of them have been fighting for first and second since high school. You're talking about when Justin Fields went to college, he was the number one ranked player and number one ranked quarterback coming out of high school. And Trevor Lawrence was number two. Now you're talking about Trevor Lawrence being number one and Justin Fields being number two. And we all know the story about Justin Fields. He went mm-hmm. to Georgia. He didn't get the playing time. And then he decided to try to get released, and he went over to Ohio State, and you're seeing all the great things that he's doing for the Ohio State Buckeyes. The problem is Ohio State quarterbacks, they never amount to anything. Go look at the background. When was the last Ohio State quarterback that became a superstar player and became the best quarterback in a draft class? And the answer is, I don't remember.
I don't either.
So,
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Trevor Lawrence – It really depends on what team he goes to and how many players, what players they put around him, and what players they put around both of them. You know, Justin Fields could go. It could be the Jaguars. It's either the Jets or the Jaguars. They're going 1-2, and I just said it. They went 1-2 from high school. They're going 1-2 from college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an interesting story. I think he'll be a Jaguar, and I think Trevor Lawrence will be a Jet. All questions on what Joe Douglas is going to do moving forward to build around Trevor Lawrence, and what the Jaguars are going to do when it comes to coaching as well and management on how they can build around Justin Fields.
Yeah, I want to see Justin Fields make it because you brought up a very good point and a very good question. When was the last Ohio State quarterback that amounted to a pro quarterback? And I'm talking about a successful superstar pro quarterback. I haven't seen it since I started watching college football and started watching the NFL. I haven't seen it. I'm certainly not going to say Craig Krenzel, even though he helped Ohio State win a national championship. You can't throw that name out there. I haven't seen it. So I agree with your point. I haven't seen it from Ohio State either. That's where we go next.
We have seen it from Clemson. We have seen it from Clemson.
Yes, we have.
Deshaun Watson.
Yes,
so
indeed.
We know.
And I believe we're going to see it from Trevor Lawrence. Speaking of Ohio State, if they don't play the six required games needed to get to the Big Ten Championship, where they will face the Northwestern Wildcats, by the way, can they still make the playoff?
Yes, I do. Right now, Ohio State, because they have possibly the Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, he's on everybody's radar, as we were just talking about. We're trying to compare and contrast him to Trevor Lawrence. Yes, I do believe that as long as Ohio State doesn't lose two games, they can absolutely make the playoffs. And that, just because of Justin Fields and everybody wants to see him, and maybe in a national title game, him and Trevor Lawrence, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they get past Northwestern? Because I think even with Northwestern's game canceled this weekend in Minnesota because of COVID concerns in Minnesota, I think next week Northwestern wraps up the Big Ten West and they go to Indy. So we're probably going to see a rematch of Ohio State and Northwestern from 2 years ago. Are we going to see the same result?
No, I think Ohio State's going to win. I think Justin Fields is proving, you know, he's slowly but surely proving to everybody that he might be the Heisman Trophy winner. Like I said, it's crazy when you look at Trevor Lawrence, and everybody's going to be talking about this. They're going to be compared and contrast to each other for the rest of their careers, just like Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and Lamar Jackson and Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield. Everybody's going to remember that draft. They're going to be compared to each other. The only two guys that are going to be compared to each other in this coming draft is the same two guys that were compared when they came out of high school, the same two guys that in the last 2 years have been compared to each other in college, and that's Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. So, yes, I do believe Ohio State will win against Northwestern and Fitzgerald, who could be the next head coach of the New York Jets. I mean, stories coming out. So it's crazy. But I do. I think Ohio State will make it to the four, the Fab Four.
Yeah. Look, Pat Fitzgerald's not leaving Northwestern. He's too decorated in purple to – yeah, he's got nothing left to prove. And you know this is personal to me because I'm a Northwestern fan. I'm from Chicago, and I've seen Pat Fitzgerald play his entire career. I don't think Pat Fitzgerald leaves. He loves those kids and their town.
Are you reading the stories?
Yeah, I'm paying attention.
Are you reading the stories? Yeah.
I'm paying attention.
He's on Joe Douglas's radar. He is on Joe Douglas's radar. So is Ohio State coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Joe Douglas's radar.
Ryan Day.
I think those, yep.
Yep. But I think it's,
yeah.
I don't think Fitz leaves. He loves that school and those kids entirely too much. He's so decorated and has the numbers to back it up. The only coach in NU history to win 100 games at Northwestern. And two of the last 3 years, assuming they take care of business next week, they've won the Big Ten West title. So, and I've been keeping up with the stories. You know, Ryan Day is on the radar. Pat Fitzgerald's on the radar. A couple of other college coaches are on the radar. I just don't see Fitz leaving.
It's going to be a very interesting story at the end of the season. I do believe he'll sit down with the Jets and talk about the job. You're talking about the number one pick. You're talking about all the draft stock that the Jets are going to have for the next 2 years, all the money the Jets are going to have to spend.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of good young players. C.J. Mosley didn't even play this year, but they have a bunch of good young players
right.
with a very good draft class for Joe Douglas. I could see Fitzgerald leaving. I really do. I mean, the money talks and getting to coach a New York team, going into New York City and give the Jets an opportunity. If you win a championship with the New York Jets, you'll become a god. So I could see him leaving. I could. I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm old school. I just don't think that his love for Northwestern will run out. And I see him sticking around for at least a couple more years and then hanging it up as the Wildcats coach and not getting into coaching again. I mean, his entire life is based in and around Chicago. Even his playing career, when he had a cup of coffee with the Dallas Cowboys, it was still in Chicago. He went right into coaching after his injury. It's going to be an interesting story to follow. We'll keep our eyes on that. I shouldn't pose this question, but I'm going to. Is Notre Dame playing the best football in the country right now? And if not, I think I know the answer to fill in that blank. But is Notre Dame playing the best football in the country?
No, it's Alabama. Alabama's been the best team in the country. I think the most talented team that, you know, in this, and I do believe they're going to make it, is Clemson. I think the fact that Trevor Lawrence has been out for the last couple of weeks and that has affected them, especially their play. But I think Clemson is the most talented team. Alabama has been the best team in the nation. So it's funny because being that it's a short season for the NCAA, there's going to be back and forth, you know, rants about Notre Dame, because Notre Dame is like the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys of college football. Mm-hmm. They're America's team. Everybody loves Notre Dame. When they're a good team, everybody wants them in the national title game. I think because of the name and because of what they've done, they're not beating Clemson in the ACC title game. They're not going to beat them in that title game. But I think because they have one loss and because it's Notre Dame and it's Brian Kelly, I do believe Notre Dame will make it to the Fab Four.
I believe they will, too. I think the win against Clemson at Notre Dame Stadium, knocking off then number one Clemson, I think that already sealed their fate. Not only get to the ACC championship game in Charlotte in 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, but also to seal their fate into the Fab Four. I think Notre Dame has written their ticket to both. Let's go to the NFL.
So is Florida.
So yeah, I think Florida has also.
I think it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida. That's where I think it is. Yep. That's where I think it's going to be. I'm sorry, Notre Dame. It's so crazy because it's only 14.
Right. Which prompts a bonus question.
I'm lost there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I understand.
Oh, man.
I understand. This pandemic shortened college football season has produced a lot of crazy trends. Errol Marks joining me here on the program. Follow him on Twitter at @ErrolMarks34. Check out the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Fabulous network with some great programs as well. Okay. As a Jets fan, I'll start it. You fill in the blank. With the number one pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the New York Jets select
Trevor Lawrence.
No doubt in your mind.
No doubt in my mind. You can't, and I understand a lot of fans are going to say, well, you know, the Jets can, they can add 2, 3, 4 first round draft picks. You saw, you saw what Washington, you know, getting RG3, what they had to give up to get RG3, 3 first round draft picks for Trevor Lawrence because of the talented player that he is. He's the next Andrew Luck. He's better than Andrew Luck. You could probably get 4 first round draft picks. I just don't see Joe Douglas. You've seen enough of Sam Darnold. I love the kid.
Yep.
I just think he's lost right now.
Yeah.
I think he's lost.
Agreed.
And I think he needs to go somewhere else where he can get his head back on straight. He's still one of the top 3 young quarterbacks in the NFL. He was the youngest quarterback in NFL history. He's only 23. By the end of the season, he's going to be 24. I think he's a kid. I think the Jets can get a second or third round draft pick. You move on from Sam, unfortunately, and then you move on to a talented quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. I don't see Joe Douglas taking a step back and saying, you know what, I'm going to get 4 first round draft picks for this kid, when this guy can change your organization from one of the worst quarterback plays we've seen in the last 3-4 years to one of the best. So I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is going to change the Jets offense automatically, but you're bringing in a coach. If you bring in a college coach, you give the college coach or the coach that you bring in the opportunity to choose if you want Sam Darnold. If you bring in Jim Harbaugh will probably tell the Jets that he can fix Sam. I don't know if it's going to be Jim Harbaugh. I think they're going to try to go after somebody that you wouldn't expect. There's going to be 7 or 9 coaching jobs that are going to be available in the NFL at the end of the season. I believe that. And everybody keeps saying Eric Bieniemy. Not everybody's going to be able to get Eric Bieniemy. So I think it makes a little bit of sense that in the end, I don't think Eric Bieniemy is going to pick the Jets. I think the Jets I'm going to pick one of these young or one of these coaches from college that's going to help them develop their young quarterback.
Aside of Pat Fitzgerald and Ryan Day, what other college coaches could be tabbed by Joe Douglas to coach the New York Jets?
I just told you one, Jim Harbaugh. I think Jim Harbaugh fits. I've been saying this for the last, I was saying this for the last 3-4 months, and I wasn't surprised that before the season started, I said I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the season, being that Michigan has just not played well. And Jim Harbaugh, to me,
right,
his style is more of an NFL style.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Joe Douglas reaching out to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh making $9 million a year. I don't know if the Jets will pay him $9 million a year, but I do believe the Jets will give him the reins of the team and let him pick his coaching. And I think if he gets his choice with some of the players, remember, if the Jets get the number one pick, they still have Jamal Adams' pick. They
right.
have nine of the net. They have nine first three round. They have nine picks in the first three rounds in the next 2 years, which is more than any team in the NFL in the next 2 years. So, I think Joe Douglas. You saw what he did in his draft class this past year. Looking at Ashton Davis's of the world, he's looking better and better. Denzel Mims looks like he's going to be an acrobatic star for the Jets. They have. They added Mekhi Becton. Bryce Hall looked really good for the last two games that he's played. Mann is going to be one of the best punters in the league. I mean, you're looking at some of these kids slowly but surely, and even LaMichael Perron, whenever we get a chance to see him,
right.
We see more of Frank Gore.
Right.
We've seen some good things about him. So it's been a good draft class for Joe Douglas. So, yes, I do believe that it's going to be very enticing. Even though a lot of people think it's not. And everybody kept telling. Remember, you've been hearing for the last couple of weeks, oh, Trevor Lawrence is not going to want to go play for the Jets.
Right.
Listen, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell all you fans out there, this is a fact. And this is a fact. And this is Brian Snow's show. This is Brian Snow's show. And I'm going to stand in and say this. You're going to an NFL team. You have the opportunity to be the number one pick. You've done everything you possibly can besides win a Heisman Trophy in college football. You have a chance to be in not one, not two, but three title games and have a chance to win two out of three.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go back in your senior year? You're not. He's not Eli Manning. He's not going to tell the Jets he doesn't want to go there. He doesn't have Archie talking behind him like a little parrot, okay? It's not going to happen. Trevor Lawrence will be a Jet. He's not going to opt in to go and playing his senior year. Everything that we've heard from Dabo Sweeney is this guy is a no-brain superstar in the NFL, just like he said about Deshaun Watson. Remember what he said about Deshaun Watson?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever passes up on him is like passing up on Michael Jordan. So, I think it's a no-brainer for the Jets, and I think the Jets are going to have their future quarterback moving forward. This guy is a no-brain hit as a number one quarterback and an elite quarterback in the NFL when he gets into the NFL.
He is sports talk host Errol Marks and the man in charge of the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Go check out worldwidesports.com and check out his shows on there as well. Follow him on Twitter at ErrolMarks34. Fabulous host. And a very, very dear friend hopping on the program to join me again. Thanks a lot, buddy.
How's married life over there?
Absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely happy, man. I'm happy
wonderful.
For you.
Yeah, I am. I've said this on the show many times, and I've said it on yours. Dr. K saved my life in so many ways.
I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
You look happy. I'm happy that everything is working out for you. You've been through a hard time, and the hard times are behind you, man. You got to just move forward. You step forward, and I really love what you're doing and the hard work that you put in. You're one of the best, man.
I appreciate you. I love you, buddy. Thank you.
I love you too, man.
Beamer Tire and Auto Repair, now with three locations across the Triad, in High Point, Greensboro, and our new location in Kernersville. Beamer Tire and Auto offers full-service auto repair, all tire brands, free alignment checks, oil changes, and more. In Kernersville, check out the No Appointment Needed Quick Lube Shop. Check out their thousands of five-star ratings via Google and Yelp. They care because they know that you can go anywhere. So try a shop with a beating heart, not a bottom line. Beamer Tire and Auto Repair. Visit us on Facebook or at BeamerTire.com.
Now I welcome back to the show Eric Summers, the editor at CatScratchReader.com. You can follow him on social media at Tater, T-A-T-E-R 596. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming back on.
Absolutely. Great to be here again.
What happened Sunday in Minnesota? Let's begin there with a general question of what the hell happened?
You know, sometimes you do everything right, but one key piece falls flat and you lose. And it's almost indescribable, because if you look at the box score, the Panthers absolutely dominated this game. If you look at the fact that Jeremy Chinn did something that's never been done in the NFL, the Panthers dominated this game. And, you know, and if you watch just the middle of the game, if you watch anything from the second quarter all the way through the last 3 minutes, the Panthers dominated this game, but somehow they still lost. It was a failure, epic proportions, in my opinion, coming from the coaching staff and from what they have said following the game and from what they have said that's been put out on Twitter. It seems that they know that. It seems that Phil Snow may actually be learning that that whole three-man rush thing is not working for the Panthers. But what I don't understand is why he saw it wasn't working in the first quarter, went away from it for the rest of the game until the Vikings needed a game-winning drive, when he went back to it and it surrendered a touchdown in 1 minute.
Yeah. 65 seconds, Kirk Cousins took him down the field. How much blame should be on Teddy Bridgewater for that loss to the Vikings on Sunday?
Well, I'm trying to decide. I have speculated whether Teddy Bridgewater was actually 100%. I don't think the coaching staff thought he was anything less than 100%, but, you know, it's a player getting to play the team that drafted him. He had a lot of motivation to want to be out there, even if the knee wasn't totally healed. I don't really want to say that that's the case, because, you know, it's wild speculation on my part. It's just putting some pieces together. But all I know is Teddy Bridgewater that I saw on Sunday was not the Teddy Bridgewater I've seen the rest of the season. He was inaccurate. He had great protection. He had some of the best protection he's had all year. But he just wasn't delivering a good ball. And he absolutely had a chance to win the game if he throws a touchdown pass to DJ Moore. And he was just off. And Moore couldn't make the adjustment. And it was a throw that you or I probably could have made. Now, we say that, obviously. But, you know, the point is, it was not a degree of difficulty for us. We could have thrown it behind the receiver, in front of the receiver. We could have thrown it anywhere except where Bridgewater threw it.
Right.
And it would have been a touchdown. The game would have been over. I don't know if he just had an off day or if he was actually still hurt. Either way, he was the weak link on the team, and the coaches were the weak link on the team. I think everybody else did a pretty great job.
To speak to a point that you just made a few moments ago, Bridgewater seemed to throw Joe Brady under the bus in post-game comments by saying that the play was the right play, but it didn't come in fast enough. He then overthrew, we just talked about it a moment ago, a wide-open DJ Moore in the end zone that could have sealed the game. Settle for field goal instead of a touchdown. Field goals get you beat. Is Bridgewater regressing this year?
I don't think he's regressing. I mean, if we're honest about our team, he had been getting pretty, not great, at least what I would say below average protection for probably the 3 weeks prior to the Lions game. And he still made some decent throws. He still did a few good things. I don't think he's regressing. I think people are failing to realize that it's still a new team. You know, I mean, I know we're more than halfway through the season, but we're still talking about a new coaching staff with a new quarterback who's with new receivers. Nobody had any familiarity with each other entering the season. And I don't care how many weeks you give them. You just need more time. You just need to have that unspoken chemistry that develops between a quarterback and his receivers when they play together for a long time. I think it's one of the reasons we see Brady having off weeks nowadays down in Tampa Bay, because he just simply doesn't have that unspoken communication that he did in New England with guys that he had been playing with for 5, 10 years or sometimes more. Bridgewater's only had 11 weeks with these guys, and he doesn't get a lot of real practices. He didn't get a training camp or anything like that. So I don't think we're talking about regression. I think we're talking about a quarterback that had a bad game, either because he wasn't 100% or he just had a bad game. And I don't know. And he just doesn't seem the guy to me to really throw somebody under the bus. I think what he said was probably the truth, but we've been conditioned to believe that the quarterback, whoever's speaking, is supposed to deflect and just say, we got to do better. You know what I mean? I think he was just being honest.
Eric Summers joining me here, the editor at CatScratchReader.com. Follow him on social media at Tater596. Do you look at Bridgewater as a franchise quarterback?
I look at Bridgewater as a guy who's win you a Super Bowl with the right team, but I don't know that I look at him as a franchise quarterback. I haven't seen any evidence from Bridgewater that he can really elevate the guys around him. I absolutely will not use the game manager label on Bridgewater. I want to make that perfectly clear. So many people want to call him a game manager. I think that is one of the most veiled insults you can possibly throw at a quarterback. I think he's a better player than that. I think we're going to see better games out of him in the future. I think there's a lot of this whole team's arrow is pointing up. Let's put it that way. And I really think that Bridgewater is a good quarterback, but when I say Bridgewater could win you a Super Bowl with the right team, I look at him the same way as, you know, like Brad Johnson won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. You know, you get a really good supporting cast, a decent defense, and things like that that puts him in favorable situations, then you end up with a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think he's an accurate thrower. I think he plays really, really well when he's ahead. But it's some of these behind situations that get to him. So when I think about what makes a franchise quarterback, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater, but I do think that he's one of the top, he's in the top half of this league as far as who's starting for who. That's where I would place him.
Heading into the bye, how do you grade the Carolina Panthers coaching staff?
Well, the fact that we have as many wins as we do heading into the bye, I have to give them overall at least an A-. I had, and I think a lot of people had, looking at the talent on this roster, looking at the lack of offseason, looking at the youth we were going to be starting all over the field, I had the worst picture in my head. I thought there was a chance we wouldn't win a game or we may only win one or two games. As it stands, you know, we've got four wins and we're feeling all right. You know what I mean? I don't watch these games dreading what I'm about to see. I know I'm about to watch a competitive team who may not have what it takes to pull it off in the end. And most of that has to do with youth and lack of familiarity. But I think this team has come together remarkably well, given the situation they were put in. So as a staff, as a whole, A-. Now, if I start grading individual coaches, I think Brady's doing a good job. I think that Rule is doing a good job. I think they both deserve A's. I don't know if Phil Snow is a NFL defensive coordinator. I think he is trying to hold on too much to what worked in the college ranks. And I do see some growth from him. The Detroit Lions game was a big growth moment for him. The middle of the Vikings game was a big growth moment. But he's got to resist that urge to fall back into what he knows versus what is working. Because what he knows doesn't work for the Carolina Panthers the way they're currently structured.
Yeah, that's the truth. What has stood out as the biggest need for the Panthers roster after 12 games?
Well, I think we definitely need a middle linebacker. I don't know if that's the greatest need, but if we're looking at needs on defense, now I think things have dramatically improved with Jermaine Carter taking over. I think getting Tahir Whitehead off the field has been a big reason we've seen a wholesale change in this defense. We've seen everybody else elevate their play. I think Shaq Thompson trusts him a little bit more, Jermaine Carter more than he did Tahir Whitehead, and he's just a better player. But I think all defenses, especially historically Panthers defenses, have really been at their best when they had a great middle linebacker. Do I think that should be the first pick in the first round for us? I don't think so. I think we'll have a greater impact if we're probably going to have to look at a left tackle. I would say our greatest absolute overall need is still a left tackle. I think the fact that Greg Little was inactive this past week, I mean, Russell Okung was healthy again, which is great, but the fact that Little was the odd man out and he's the one that we're looking to develop, that doesn't speak well for him. I think it's a good chance that we have a bust on our hands as far as he goes. So I think we're still looking for our left tackle of the future. And to me, you don't have a workable offense until you have that left tackle.
Annie, what do you think would be the odds on the Panthers drafting a quarterback?
I think we have enough needs that depending on the way the board falls, we're going to take the best player available. And I think one of those players is going to be an area of need. I think if a good quarterback, I think if one of the top three rated quarterbacks is available when we pick, they'll highly consider it. I think they're not going to reach for anybody. And I also don't think they're going to trade up for anybody. So I would say if one of the guys that they don't like isn't there in the first round, unless they want to try to move back and get some more picks, I don't think we're going to see quarterback be the pick. There is a reason that Bridgewater was highly targeted by this coaching staff. I know Brady likes him. I know Rule likes him. And I like him too. And I think he might be the guy to help us build this team because I'm still not thinking, you know, Super Bowl in 2021 or anything. We're still in a rebuilding process here. But until we reach that point, I think Bridgewater really would be a good quarterback for us. But of course, then you ask, well, will he be too good? Will we win too many games? Will we not have a shot at somebody else later on? And to those questions, I say, look at some of the big names at quarterback in the NFL right now. They were not number one overall picks. They were not even top 10 picks. A lot of them were first round picks, but they weren't even in the top 10. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. It's not a given that you spend a top five pick on a quarterback, they're going to pan out. In fact, there are far more examples of bust in the top five at quarterback than there are successes.
Yeah.
So I think you draft based on best player available. I think that's the correct strategy, especially when you're trying to rebuild a team.
Did Jeremy Chinn lock up NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year on Sunday?
Oof. And I hope so. I mean, he did something that's never been done before. That's always a feather in your cap, especially if you're a rookie. He's been an incredibly impressive player all year. When you look at his competition for who could win it over him, I just don't know that Chase Young and people like that have had a bigger impact on their team than Jeremy Chinn has. I think Chinn has the unfortunate fact of just he plays for the Panthers and we're mostly overlooked nationally, but I am sure everybody nationally saw the highlights of what Chinn did from this past Sunday. And I think if you were looking at full season impact of one single player, especially given that he was a third rounder, it would be hard to convince me that it should be anybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he has a really solid shot. I think he's an amazing player. And every time I watch him, I cannot believe this is his first year in the NFL.
And the scary part is he's only going to get better. This is his rookie season. The scariest thing is that he's going to develop and he's going to get better. But to put the Defensive Rookie of the Year award under as a big feather in his cap, I think he sealed it up with the performance this past Sunday. That's Eric Summers, the editor at CatScratchReader.com. Follow him on social media at Tater596. He'll be a frequent guest on the program. Thanks a lot, E. Appreciate the time.
No problem. Thanks for having me again. I'll talk to you later.
My NFL Top 5 is next in a flash.
Hey guys, it's Desmond Johnson, and I want to tell you about Retro King, the number one sneaker boutique in the Triad. Buy, sell, and trade large selection of new and pre-owned sneakers. Latest popular releases like Jordan, Nike Air Max, Air Force One, SB Dunk, Foamposite, Off-White, Adidas, Yeezy, including apparel by Supreme, Bape, Cause, Champion, and much, much more. And the best prices in the Triad. Stop by today and check out their vast inventory selection, conveniently located at 1531 Haines Mall Boulevard in Winston-Salem, beside Cookout, across the street from Walmart, Monday through Thursday, 11:30 to 6:30, Friday and Saturday, 11:30 to 7:30, and Sunday, 12 to 5. Give them a call, 336-999-7000. Follow them on Instagram, @_retro_king. That's @_retro_king. Always look your best. Shop Retro King, the cleanest, new, and pre-owned shoes around. Period.
All right, time for Snowman's NFL top five. These are my top five teams in the NFL right now as of this Thursday morning. At number five, I have a tie, the Seahawks and the Packers, both at 8-3. Unfortunately, I don't trust either of them when it comes to January. At number four, the Buffalo Bills, also 8-3. Josh Allen is growing up right before our eyes. It's going to be the development of the offense that'll take him further. At number three is the New Orleans Saints. They don't have Drew Brees. Who cares? They're 9-2, and they're running away with the NFC South, just as old Snowman predicted that they would do. At number two is the Kansas City Chiefs at 10-1. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and the defending world champions are right in the playoff pick, are right in the hunt for a top seed in the AFC, unless my number one team drops a game, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They didn't blow out Baltimore like I expected them to do, but you know something? They're number one because they're 11-0. Will they run the table? I hope not. A loss is going to have to really put them on edge and wake them up for the stretch drive. That's Snowman's NFL top five for the week of December 3rd. Well, it seems I have run out of time for this edition of the program. I want to thank everyone who has joined us throughout all of our great affiliates, including Tobacco Road Sports Radio, as well as WTLB, full press coverage, and the SDM Sports Network. Tomorrow, Winston-Salem Journal's Ethan Joyce will join me to talk all things Appalachian State Mountaineers. Hope you enjoyed it as I enjoy bringing it to you. Till tomorrow, have a great day. God bless. Remember to make your next move your best move. And always remember, if your dreams don't scare you, then they are not big enough. Dream big, do bigger. I am, and I hope you all are too. I'm out of here. I love you.